Always great to welcome the highly talented Abigail Munn from Circus Belle. Circus Belle! And they are here for their 16th annual Free Circus in the Parks season. And this is already underway, going through July 26th. Various locations in Bay Area Parks, Laguna Beach, and also in Reno. The show this year is called Hoopla. Abigail, welcome to the show. Tell us more about Hoopla.
Good morning. Hoopla, yeah, we're very excited, and I thank you so much for having me back on your amazing radio program. I love to be here. Mm-hmm. Hoopla is about joy and the celebration of life. Every year we do these free shows in the park, and we also do a tent show in the winter, and I was trying to think about the different experiences our audiences have. And outdoor, it's just this kind of wild, fun, kind of raucous celebration, and that's what our show is about.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember you doing Reno, or am I wrong?
We've been doing Reno for the last couple of years, actually. We're at Reno. My sister lives in Reno, and she connected us with this fantastic arts festival called Art Town Reno. So we'll be at the Reno Public Market, which is great. We love Reno.
Now, those circus performers across the street, are they your buddies or your enemies?
They're actually our friends, and we stay at the Circus, and it's our friends run the show at the Circus. So, it's a very small community.
Now, this is, we've talked about this before, for people who don't know, this is in your blood. This is a labor of love your whole life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's true. I started training in the circus when I was 9 years old. So just a few years ago, but no, I have been doing this my whole life, and I started off as a youth performer and then graduated to trapeze artist, and now I'm the ringmaster for the show.
And Pickle Family Circus as well, you were involved with them?
That was where I started there. Pickle Family Circus was this amazing company based out of San Francisco, and that's where they had a circus school, and I started with them, and I performed in their shows when I was a youth, and then also in some later shows when I was an adult, and very much there my influence of starting this company. I guess we've been going for a while now, so continuing this company.
I love Jeff Hoyle and Mr. Sniff, or whatever it was, Mr. Nose, and his son has been in here with me. He's now a solo performer at the Marsh, and it's a very, you have a voluminous number of talented people, don't you?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, we come from such an amazing legacy of clowning and performance and outdoor performance, like kind of theatrical performance, like the Mime Troupe and all of them in San Francisco. There's this rich history that we are continuing the tradition of. And there's so many resources here in San Francisco of just great performers.
You have been someone, too, that has been an advocate for people who work in the circus arts, and I know every state is different with workers' comp and policy and all sorts of things, but how is the circus industry in California compared to others?
When you start a little circus, you never think you're going to get involved in politics, actually. But we worked really hard to, I'm really proud that we pay all our performers as employees, which is unusual for a company our size. And in doing that, I ended up having to change the rules of workers' comp for circus arts in the state of California, which was a ridiculous one-woman battle, but, I'm tough as nails, and we did it. And I'm really proud to be able to pay our artists fair wages and treat people well, and artists can thrive in San Francisco, which is not easy.
Yeah, no, I know you're
in the Bay Area.
You helped found the American Circus Alliance, but that leads me to my next question.
Oh, yeah.
And sorry if this is getting too technical.
I love this.
Okay, good.
I love it.
Because I was thinking, In today's world, everybody's always got a stick up their behind, and sometimes for good reason, but maybe you're trying to have a circus and they're like, you can't do that to that animal. The bearded lady, you can't point and laugh at her. You can't risk your life. You need to put up a net. I mean, how many of these outside people get involved and tell you what you're doing is bad or wrong?
Yeah, so, you know, actually in founding the American Circus Alliance, what happened is we were all sitting, it was during the pandemic, and a bunch of people who are used to being extremely busy were all sitting around doing nothing because all of our shows were canceled. So we're like, what can we do right now? We're all sitting by ourselves, and maybe we are actually, you know, we're all so busy and everybody, and there's kind of a history of circuses not talking to each other, but because you want to kind of keep your route secret so it shows your competition. But that was a different time, and things are tough, and it's actually easier if we're all working together. So we founded this organization that basically every circus company is now talking to each other. And in that, we've kind of realized how much of an actually even an economic impact the circus arts has in the United States. We've done surveys and all the kind of stuff you have to do to realize kind of how important our industry is and the arts in general is to the United States and to the economy, the economic impact that the circus has in the United States. Boring, but exciting. So, and with that strength and with that data and that information, there's power and there's strength, and we're working with grants to actually have, this is very silly, but like when you write a grant, an arts grant, we're a 501c3, and when you write an arts grant, you there's a box for theater, there's a box for opera, there's a box for ballet, but there's no box for circus. so we want our own box, and we're working on that.
It reminds me like in the 40s and 50s, if you were Hispanic, you had to check white, like, That wasn't an option back then.
Right. So we're trying to kind of, I think, just also give some legitimacy to our art form so that it isn't just like we're torturing animals and, you know, kind of this weird fringe thing, but we're actually kind of a part of an important part of American culture. Here's my statistic. I actually just did a little research. The first circus that came to the United States was in 1780, I think 87, wow. And George Washington attended the performances.
Wow. He didn't ride on the bareback on a pony, did he?
Well, he actually, kind of. Not exactly, but he was mostly interested. It was a horse show, and he was very interested in the horses. So that you're not that far off, actually.
All right. All right. Well, we only have a minute. So there's one word that I mentioned that people need to key on, and that is, even with you taking care of people, workers' comp, paying a fair wage, it's, for the rest of us, this is all free.
Fun.
How do you do it? It's fun, but how is it free?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we do a lot of fundraising, and we get grants, both city and used to get federal funding, but not anymore. And we get generous donations by individuals, and then as well as, and all of our host sites also contribute to the cost of the show. So it's many hands on deck to make this circus free for everybody.
Well, once again, we have been speaking to the fantastic Abigail Munn. It is Circus Bella's Hoopla, free circus in the parks, Laguna Beach, all over the Bay and Reno. It's going on now until the end of July, circusbella.org for more info. Abigail, thanks for coming on, and have a great summer.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.